What for? What for? What for? I used to run, run away. I never got very far.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We have a extra special guest on today's episode of Teach Them All This. It's Future Star.
Future Star, it's me!
You, dear listener, are listening to Teachable Moments, CITR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Dork, you are you, and today's definition of the word cool is provided by our current guest. What is today's definition of the word cool?
Cool it, which is like an exclamation, which means chill out, man. Cool it. Like, stop being so heated up about that thing, you know?
Why was this your go-to definition for cool, if you have a reason?
I guess I don't have a reason. I feel like I was just like, what hasn't been done before, you know? Like, I've seen many definitions of cool on your show. I don't think I've seen cool it. And I think about this a lot, like, with like when you're talking about someone and you're like, that person just needs to cool it, man. That person just needs to like simmer down, cool it. Like, I feel like I think about that a lot in terms of other people, not myself. I never need to cool it. I definitely need to cool it sometimes, especially,
I do agree. It's like a very reactive definition, because you're right, it is an exclamation. It's something that you like would say in response to something.
Yeah. Or like when you're like seeing some person and they're like freaking out about something and you're like, hey man, cool it, you know? And it's also a command, you know what I mean? It's not just like, it's a command, you know what I mean? It's like telling someone to do something that they might not want to do. Let's be real. Yeah. It's like telling someone to relax.
Okay, I have so much to say about this, but I do want to call out the song that we started the episode with, which was "Yes." The Only. This is the part that's too hard to explain. Your
That little gem.
Do you want to speak a little bit to that song, to that release? Because right now it's your most, as of right now, It's your most recent.
It is my most recent single right now. Not for long though. But yeah, this is a part that's too hard to explain. I feel like it's so funny because it's a song that I wrote, I think, in 2016. A lot of the songs, so I'm putting out an album in July, called It's About Time, and a lot of the songs are borrowed from the past, I guess. So this is one of those songs, and it's about like, oh man, it's very funny because it sounds very fun, which is
Yeah.
my favorite kind of song is a song that sounds really fun, but like lyrically is like, oh dear, is she okay? Like, cool it, 2016 Selena. You know what I mean? But it's also, yeah, I don't know. It's just like it's about, I think in the press release, I think I said something like it's about like the vulnerability experienced in adolescence or something. But that is what it's about. Like, it's because I think that there's this thing that people that everyone experience I think that everyone experiences like a certain kind of vulnerability in adolescence. And there's a way that we get, you know, there's things we don't have control over, right?
Totally.
And I think that that's, you know, when other people, when adults have control over situations that we don't have control over, we want control over things. We don't know how to do that yet. I don't know. That's kind of what it's about. But yeah.
Thank you so much. We are gonna move on to some tunes.
Yeah.
So this next song is Devour's most recent single, XY. You chose all of the songs for today's episode.
I did, yeah.
Do you want to speak a little, very briefly on why you chose this song?
Oh, I just love Devours so much. Devours is my next door neighbor. I think he's one of the best musicians in Canada, maybe. Definitely one of the best musicians in Vancouver right now, one of my most favorite musicians. And also, he's such a good guy. And also, this song is really good. Like, he's so good at like doing the thing where it's like he's like, here's my confessional experience, but also it's a bop. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? I
He's always,
love Devours.
yeah, what it, first of all, angel on this earth. And then also, like,
Absolutely.
the perfect, exactly what you said, like, balancing, like, really danceable, fun songs and, like you said, confessions, like, very honest, earnest stories.
And like he's always, I don't know, like he's always like, oh, like lyrics are so hard for me. I'm like, screw you. You're like one of my favorite lyricists ever of all time. Like, he's a bonko nut job, but I love him so much, and he's such a genius.
Well, you are going to listen to this bonko nut job XY. This is Devour's most recent single, and you're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Tall, dark, and handsome, I chose you at random. The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 19th to 23rd. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, film, and art in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Featuring New York experimental hardcore trio Show Me the Body as guest curator, incisive Chicago rapper Mick Jenkins, Los Angeles indie rockers Cherry Glazer, Canadian indie rock sensation Ecstasy, genre-bending rap artist Carrie Foe, Montreal-based hip-hop trio Planet Giza, 70s Zamrock revivalist with trailblazing Argentine singer-songwriter Juana Molina, and many, many more. Plus, there's over 150 more artists in the full lineup. Check out the full lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com. Repeat, sledisland.com.
The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
No.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You are listening to Teachable Moments, CITR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Dork. You are you. And today's extra special guest is...
Future Star!
Just to call back some of the songs that we just heard, the most recent song you heard was Charli XCX with the Von Dutch remix with Scream and Benga. Just before that was Affirmations by Hannah Diamond off of their album Picture Perfect, and then open that set with Devour's most recent single, XY. Selena, or Future Star, did choose this week's episode, episode's definition, which is cool exclamation.
It.
Oh, that's really funny.
Cool it.
You were talking a little bit about cool it being like a command.
Yeah.
That I thought that was interesting because I really think the phrase is cool it, buddy. Like, I think it's more of a warning. Like, I really like...
Oh, interesting.
Like, which is like something that I talk about on the show like pretty consistently is... like cool as being like a medium something, like medium energy in some way. And I think a warning fits into that with like the idea of what cool is.
It's like this could go out one of two ways, you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit on the, because you as our star guest, our current and future star guest, did choose all of the music for this week. So
yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit on the Charli XCX and the Hannah Diamond tracks if you have?
Oh, Hannah Diamond I've been listening to for so long, and this new, I had only recently realized that she released an album in 2023. Like, I just, it didn't show up for me for some reason. And I found out about it like last week. And so it's new to me. And I'm just like, this album rocks. Hannah Diamond is such a genius. Like, she's just so, like, I love how she, like, curates her looks and stuff like that. Like, she curates all her, like, visual branding and stuff like that, which I think is super cool. And then Charli XCX is obviously iconic. I love this remix of this song. It's so, yeah. It's like, the kids want dubstep, you know what I mean? Like, the kids are hungry for dubstep.
Dubstep.
And I'm like, thank God, I'm here for the club bangers. I'm here for 2010, not to be back, but like, there's things that I think, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't throw away the dubstep with the whatever else was going on back then, you know?
Skrillex. They can be separate. We can have dubstep and Skrillex cannot be Slay at the same time.
Exactly. We can have both.
I agree.
Yeah. Holding two things in your mind simultaneously. It's possible.
What a skill and what a gift.
Yes. Exactly.
We are gonna jump to the next song break. After the break, we're gonna have more of like an interview style combo, so stay tuned. And then your actual new XX exclusive single.
XX exclusive, first drop.
My Bright Fantasy is going to be playing.
My Bright Fantasy, yes. You're gonna get to hear for it for the first time ever. The recording of it anyway. On Teachable Moments on CITR 101.9 FM, recorded on the unceded territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nation.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Take this city. Who can blame a girl? Call me hot now. At 11 a.m. every Wednesday, tune in to CITR 101.9 FM for Radio Art by Danny Gall, a series featuring artworks made especially for radio broadcast, presented by the Belkin Gallery at UBC and the Polygon Gallery at the Lonsdale Quay, in tandem with two exhibitions of major works by the artist. Composed of a vast archive of sound documents, these broadcasts invite us as embodied listeners to consider the relationship of political events to acoustic events. They can be understood as both historical documents and musical compositions in the tradition of music concrete. As the transmission unfolds, we hear a full spectrum of Gall's approach to making art for radio. From selected episodes of Different Time, Different Pitch, Different Place, commissioned by Documenta 14 in 2017, to the two-part radio play entitled Vertiginous, commissioned in 2023 for the podcast series Uncertain Groundlessness, Navigating Dizziness Together.
Hey there! Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're gonna love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
What is up? You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral traditional and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You just heard the song If You Want My Loving by Prospa. Just where that was Eat Death by B-Mom, and then opened that set with Hot to Go by Chapel Round. I am your host, Dork. You're listening to Teach Wants. That's all for what's hot and what's not. And we're joined today by
Future Star. Hi, it's me.
We have reached the interview portion of the show, but before we get into it, do you want to speak a little bit on the songs that we just heard?
Well, Hot to Go. I did Hot to Go and Heat Death. I was like, oh, this will be funny. Songs about heat on a show that is cool. That was so I was just being very clever to myself. But Chapel Roan, I'm like truly obsessed with her right now. I think she's a fun lesbian. That's what it seems like she is. She's like a party lesbian, which I feel like the world needs right now. You know what I mean? 100%. Like it's like if Kesha and Carly Rae Jepsen were lesbians and had a lesbian baby. That's what I say. That's what I go on record as saying. Yeah, and I love the song Hot to Go. It's so fun. So party. And then what else? Oh, the Prospa song. I just love Prospa. I was like, oh, Prospa has a new song. Let's put that on. Ecstasy by Prospa is an older song of theirs, but that was like in the running for when I was walking down the aisle and I was like, why don't we play Ecstasy by Prospa? And we were like, wait, maybe not. And then B-Bomb, Heat Death. I'm obsessed with B-Bomb. They're new to town, kind of. Like, they're all from London, except one, Devlin, I think, used to live in Vancouver and then moved to London. Now they're all moving over to Vancouver, and I'm so excited to have this band. Like, this band reminds me of, like, the power pop that I used to listen to when I was a teenager. Yeah. Like, it's so good. It's so good. I love the synth sounds. I love everything about it.
Yeah. One of the most, I think, like, kind of, like, I think say about Yay, and I feel this way about Devours, too. Like, I do think it's, like, a band that's, like, a very exciting sound for Vancouver that like yes. People are going to be really really into.
I'm so excited. I feel like I was just like I heard that they like put out like that like yeah. 2-song EP a while ago, and then they put out their full EP, and I was just like heard the first 2 songs and I was like, oh my god, this is what we need. This is exactly what we need.
Slay. Okay, so I'm realizing I've probably maybe not enough time to get through all of the questions that I have surrounding your new release, because I feel really excited. I did, dear listener, I'm so sorry. We did open the show with This Is the Part That's Too Hard to Explain, which is Future Star's current most recent single, and then we will be playing their XX exclusive track, which is coming out
May 16th, Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be playing that later. But I did get to listen to the whole album, and I have so many thoughts and questions. So I'm just going to jump into it, and then hopefully we'll be able to get through. So you talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show of, like, some of the songs being from, like, 2016, which I have, like, a couple questions around that. A, like, so I'll ask my first question, which is, like, I feel like there is a, like, classic Future Star sound, which is, like, very, like, lyric-focused, like, vocal-focused, and then, like, piano. Like, I think of myself as an audience member a lot when I listen to your music, which I guess makes sense because I've seen you live so many times. but this album has, like, so much, so many more, like, production elements, it seems like. And so, like, I guess I'm curious about, like, how that process was working that into the, like, new sound of Future Star, and, like, resistance, any resistance you felt to your old sound or continuing it and stuff like that.
That's such a fun question. Okay, so I worked with Andromeda Monk with production on this. Yeah. She was so, like, it was really interesting. Okay, so I approached, like, when I walked into this album, all my only idea was, like, I want to record on a stand-up piano. That was my only idea. And I was like, Andromeda, I want you to produce this, because she wanted to produce it. I'd been going back and forth a little bit for a while. And I was finally like, okay, let's do this. Like, you record, produce, whatever, we'll figure it out. And for me, I have an insane amount of resistance when it comes to working with other people. I really struggle to be collaborative, which is, you know, that's, it's been like I feel like to my detriment, my whole life this has been a challenge I've been trying to, it's like, I'm always like, I would love to be in a band, but I've really struggled to be vulnerable with other people and like especially around my music, which feels so personal. So working with Andromeda was so fun. Like, it was so fun to work with someone who knows me so well. Like, I've known Andromeda since we were teenagers.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've known each other since, like, I don't know, I was probably like, I probably saw the Oz play when for the first time when I was like 17 or 18. And so yeah, it's been a long friendship, and there's a lot, we have a lot of trust and a lot of shared touchstones, I feel like, which made it easier to work with her in that way. Yeah, so I would say yes, there was resistance, but it was also so easy. Like, it was also like My Bright Fantasy, which is what we're gonna do the exclusive like little teaser of on this show. That was one of the first songs that she actually produced like for me and was like, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And I was like, whoa. And it like it blew me away because I loved it so much. Like, I don't know. And then from that point on, I was just like, I just trusted her in completely implicitly. Like, there are things where it's like, obviously, like sometimes I would have a little bit of more input, and sometimes she would have a little bit more input, and she would have input that I wouldn't even think of, and like, or I would be like, my idea for this song is, you know, I whatever it is, like, you know, is strings, wall of sound, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, like I'd come up with like some like thing where I'd be like, I'm thinking this for this, but it was just like, it was something that I've never like I've just never worked that closely with someone with my own music before, if that makes sense. Like, collaborative things I've done in the past have been more like in terms of bands, like the Trolls or Kidnap Kids or something. It's been more like other people's stuff that I'm contributing to versus my stuff that I'm asking them to contribute. And to me, it's just such a gift for someone to be like, yeah, I'll work on your stuff with you. And it's like, and like, I have like a whole thing where I'm like, yeah, I get very like clingy kind of to my stuff where I'm like, it's mine, it's mine. And I'm like, I don't think that's really healthy. I think it's good to let other people explore your stuff, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Well, I am
Yeah.
curious because my next question was, like, I feel like maybe not more so than in other releases, but like, especially in, oh gosh, what is the song name? Like, there's elements of like skits that are way more in it.
You're talking about the one with the football.
Yeah, that's the more skitty one, but then also real life having like a.
Oh yeah. That's my favorite song on the whole album.
It's so good. Mine too. Mine too. It's so good. And like,
Yeah.
yeah, I guess I was curious, like, where, like, your not your voice, like obviously it's your voice throughout the whole thing, but like how much of that was like trying to like incorporate more of this like production heavy side of it, and like I guess now also my question, like how much of that was Andromeda's input?
Well, my idea with Real Life was it started with a recording that I had of like, and it's in the song too, right? Like, it's got that like the little opening clip where you can hear me talking to Marita and Becca, and you know, I'm like, I'm writing a song right now or whatever. And I was like, from the very beginning, I was like, I want that to be in the intro. And I was very like with like all the with like the like I was like, I wanted there to be like a rhubarb, 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 you know what I mean? Like, I wanted like, I don't really remember, I feel like it was a collaborative thing, but also it like I definitely like upped it, like, because I remember initially it wasn't as much, but I was like, I want that to be an entire texture, like I want that to be like an entire, like I almost like, it's like I don't even really care what people are saying necessarily, I want it to be more of a texture, like an instrument in and of itself. And which is, it's been so fun performing that song, actually. I've been performing that song with just the like with the backing track, but not with the voice, not with the voices in it. I've been performing it with getting the audience to talk over me singing, which has been like
Oh,
so much fun. It's like, it's so exciting to me. It's like, oh, it's really fun. But yeah, that's, I feel like there's definitely like some songs that are a little more Andromeda-y and some songs that are a little more like, I feel like it was like kind of a true collaboration, you know what I mean? Like, and like, I feel like in terms of like the actual doing the stuff, Andromeda was like the one doing the stuff, because I don't know how to mix and do things. I can play the synth, but like there's I can't play, like I can't do things with like the beats and stuff that I don't know how to do. That's all Andromeda.
yeah, totally. Well, okay,
Yeah.
what a great segue, because my other question was, and I said this before, like I really think of your music as like perform, like I really imagine it as performed, and I also think like, because maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I do remember you were writing a musical at some point,
Yes.
right?
So My Bright Fantasy is the title track of that musical.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I like
Yeah.
so many of the songs on this album like feel very theatrical, and there's like the I wrote like there's an element of like grandeur, I think, like
Yes.
I'm wondering if you could like just like speak on kind of like that as like an attitude towards the making of the album.
Yeah, I feel like me and Andromeda approached this album being like, I feel like, and this is something that I've never really done before. Like, I've never approached an album being like, and this is going to sound like kind of maybe kind of crappy, but like normally prior to doing this album, my attitude towards releasing an album has been like, I have these songs, they're going to be fine the way they are because that's all I can do.
Mm.
And I can't do anything else. And that's been like that has been a big part of my art practice, has been like, I'm working within these constraints. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of time. I don't have like an enormous amount of resources to spend and to invest into my art career. And that's been part of the way I make art, I guess. And like I'm very conscious of that. And like, that's part of the art, if that makes sense. Like that's part of the art of it. I feel like that's why performance is such an important piece of things to me. So, cause it's like the recording piece is like the part that is more inaccessible. Whereas like I can show up with a keyboard and I can sing my songs and that's what I like, you know what I mean? And I can be like bardish and I like it, you know, it's very, very medieval in a way. And that's really important to me. With this album though, I feel like having Andromeda on board, she really pushed me to like dream of bigger dreams, kind of, in a way, like, or like working with her, like that decision was like, it felt like I was like giving myself permission to like try a little harder, if that makes sense. Doing this album has been like, and like getting signed to Mint and stuff like that, I was like, this is totally. Like what?
Yeah.
This is not like, I didn't anticipate that at all, like for one thing. Like,
how did that come about?
Elise DM'd me and I think possibly I had tweeted about it or someone had mentioned to Elise that I was putting out an album, and Elise just messaged me and was like, you want to do this? And I was like, yeah. That's like crazy teenage dream stuff, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what I didn't reach, like, I'm like, in the past I have actually asked, like, I've reached out to Mint and stuff like that, and I've reached out to other, and like obviously I released DJ of Love on Kingfisher Blues, and like Tim was initially going to release the album, but it just ended up working out the way it worked out. I still feel like I wouldn't have pushed myself as hard as I would if I didn't know that I had Tim was there, if that makes sense. Like, Tim to me is really an important piece of making this record as well. I don't know. That's just the nature of community, I guess. I don't know. But I just really love and appreciate everyone that I've had around me while I've been doing this crazy thing for the last however many years I've been in the scene, which is a long ass time.
I just have a little conscious of time, so I have one more question that I'm gonna ask, which is, so like something that kind of struck me about listening to the songs and listening to the release, there really seems to be like an emphasis on joy and like brightness in the music. And I feel like Pomegranate Seeds is like maybe like the one exception of that, but I guess I'm just curious about, like, especially following like When Will the DJ of Love Grant Me My One Request, like that is such a different, there's so much yearning in that album, and this really like feels like the culmination of that, despite these songs, some of these songs having been around for so long. I was just wondering if you could like maybe speak on like that, maybe like focus.
I feel like When Will the DJ of Love was very focused in a way, like, and this It's About Time is also really like, I feel like the focus for It's About Time was like, yes, time, but also like, what does that mean for me, I guess? Like, part of it was like borrowing songs from the past and borrowing things from the past and bringing them to the present and what do they mean now, and like, what, how does that impact the meaning of music when it's from long ago, kind of thing, and how can that change, and also what does time actually mean to me, like I guess it's just my general outlook, I guess, you know what I mean? I think everything gets better with time. I actually think that anytime I've ever had a problem, give it some time. Anytime I'm having a bad thing, sleep on it. And like, that's been a theme, like that's why I make music in a way, is like, it's like, it's a processing thing where I'm like, okay, how can I turn X into Y? How can I turn Y into Z? How can I turn A into B? You know what I mean? Everything's a journey. Everything's a story. How do I create meaning out of a random series of events? Because at the end of the day, I do think that life is kind of a random series of events, but I think that it's up to us to make what we will of it. And like, I don't think that we have to do that. I don't think you have to find meaning in like terrible things, but that's worked for me, I guess. Like in my personal life, like the only way that I function today is through letting time work its magic and constantly believing that the next thing that's going to happen is going to be a good thing. And even if it's a bad thing, then that was for a reason. And I don't know. Like that's just how I have lived my life. And I've lived a charmed and privileged life, but in some ways, but not in every way. And yeah, I don't know. But I guess time is a thing that turns one thing into the next thing. And that's like, I don't know, that was something that was really exciting for me about doing the album cover also, because so I was like inspired by like the Vanitas art movement, which is like this idea where it's like, you know, so it's the one where there's all the skulls and the rotting fruit and the clocks and the this and that all representing the passage of time. And yeah, so that was kind of what was driving it. And then, like, in the background I have all these like posters from shows that I've played in the past and posters I've made and stuff, and like, and there's like the flowers that my partner gave us on our like first anniversary or whatever, and like all the like things that remind me of like nice things, photographs of friends that I don't see as much anymore and stuff like that. But yeah, just it's like this idea where it's like time is going to consume everything and time changes everything and everything is always going to happen, I guess. I don't know.
We are gonna debut the exclusive single.
Exclusive. Wah, 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 wah. My Bright Fantasy. It is the title track of a musical that is not yet fully written. We're about 3/4 of the way through. Marita, let's get together soon.
Marita, call in.
Yeah. So the musical is about a young girl whose family are all bread makers. And she doesn't like bread very much. She's not gluten intolerant or anything. She just doesn't like bread. And then so she wants to like go off into the world and really like find her own like glory. And this is the song that sort of, it was the first song I wrote when I started thinking of this. But it's about, you know, her first steps into the woods and her first, it's like she sings this song after she meets a new friend. And it's about how things are not always what you expect them to be. And how a journey is what you make of it.
This is My Bright Fantasy by Future Star, out on Thursday, May 16th on Mint Records. And you're listening to it exclusively on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's not clear to me where I'm headed, but I've got an idea. Devil's in the details, but I've never paid attention to minutiae. Trip and stumble on a root on the forest floor. When you wake up, you're in the same place you were before. But it's later and the stars are out.
My bright fantasy.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral and traditional land of the Hencomine speaking Musqueam people on UBC Vancouver campus. You are listening to Teachable Moments, CITR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Dork. You are you. Today's official word cool is cool, exclamation, cool it. And we are joined by the one and the only...
Future star. I forgot who I was.
You just heard... You had an exclusive sneak peek at My Bright Fantasy, Future Star single that is out officially on Thursday, May 16th on Mint Records. And just before it was a Slay interview with the one and the only Future Star. We are going to close the show. But before we do, do you want to speak a little bit more on A, Cool It, if you have any more thoughts? I know we talked about it so much, and how people can find you, what like any exciting things coming up.
Exciting things coming up. I'm playing at Backyard Fest in Nanaimo on May 19th at 2 p.m. I'm excited for that. You can find me on Instagram at Forever Future Star. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me at futurestar.bandcamp.com. You can find me at futurestar.rocks. Oh, and I'm also playing Music Waste, but I don't know when yet. And check out my website for my list of my shows that I'm playing.
And we're gonna album coming out.
Oh, my album! Oh my god, I'm releasing an album. It's About Time on July 5th, 2024. Records, produced by Andromeda Monk, and mastered by Julian Mars of Mars Audio. And so many other people have helped in the creation of this, and I'm amped to show it to all of y'all. And this is just one,
Word. Well, thank you so much. It was so cool. You were such a cool guest.
You're such a cool host, Dork.
Oh my god. Stop. We are going to close the show with Hurtful by Non Law off of their most recent release, Like Before, also out on
Mint Records. So sick. I love Non Law. I've been loving Non Law. Dan is such a fantastically talented songwriter and musician. I am so excited that we are, you know, I feel like we're kind of coming up together. You know what I mean? Like we're
officially label mates.
We're label mates. It's so cute. So fun.
It's so fun. So cool. Yeah. So this is Hurtful by Non Law, and you're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.